If you would go ahead and stand, would you find your place? James chapter 4, starting there, verse number 13, is where we left off last week. And go through the end of the chapter. It says, in James 4, verse number 13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You can be seated tonight. We thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Lord, I pray you bless the service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. And go back and look at what we've covered so far here. And James, we're getting close to the end of it now. Tonight, we'll close out chapter 4 and have one chapter left. But we've covered a lot in James. I can't cover it all again. You're probably thankful that I can't cover it all again. We looked at the Christian and his battles. We start off there, talked about those trials the Lord allows us to go through, how we don't enjoy those, but he does allow them at different times to come into our life for a purpose, and we'll be rewarded for those if we stay faithful. We talked about those temptations and how we struggle with them, how we all struggle with them, and we don't like to talk about it, but James points it out, puts it in the open, so we have to. Next, we looked at the Christian and his Bible, and how the scripture, the Bible is a gift, and it's a graft, and it's a glass. It's a gift of God to use. We ought to treat it as if it were a gift, because it is. We talked about it being grafted. It ought to be engrafted down in our hearts and planted down deep and rooted in our hearts and our lives. We talked about it being a glass or a mirror to point out those things that need to be cleaned up. And you take one look at that and look at yourself, and you're going to find some things that need to be cleaned up. Every one of us will. We looked at the Christian and his brethren. We talked about partiality and how it's a sin against the Lord to treat somebody different than another. We have that going on right now. James points out how we treat the rich man and the poor man differently. Then we looked at that Christian and his beliefs. We saw the argument of faith and works and the truth of how it really is. It's by faith, not by works. Show me your faith by your works, James mentions. Then we looked at the Christian and his behavior. We talked about the dangers of the tongue, and we talked about the wisdom and the dangers of having the wrong wisdom, and which wisdom you're falling after, falling after spirit or falling after the flesh, which spirit's leading, what are you following? Last week, we talked about the pride. Now, pride is a source of most of the problems we have today. It can all be traced back to pride. We all struggle with that. Today is somewhat similar, I guess, to that. It's a side effect, I guess you could say, of pride. We look at the Christian and his boasting. He mentioned that word in particular in verse number 16. I see two types of boasting here. One in the end of this chapter, one in the beginning of chapter 5. We see the boasting of our plans, and the rest of this chapter here in chapter 4. And then next time we'll look at the boasting about prosperity in the next chapter. And tonight, with the Lord's help, I'm going to look at the rest of this chapter, focusing on the first thought, the Christian and his boasting of his plans. It's going to take us verse by verse. It's very simply laid out, just five short verses there, and go verse by verse and see what we can learn from it. Verse number 1, or verse number 13 here, our verse number 1, it says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. He says, go to now, or as we would say, come now, or listen up, those that say. We have a ton of sayings, both proverbs, both scriptural, and as well as man-made proverbs written about being overconfident, just the same way James is talking about here. Some of those we have heard before, man proposes, God disposes. Don't count your chickens before your eggs hatch, or biting off more than we can chew, and you can go on and on with those. I read a bunch of them today, and I'm not going to try to do that tonight. We often make plans for our future before we realize what the future holds. Is that a bad thing to make plans for the future? Is it bad to plan? Well, of course not. We were even talking about that tonight, about selling. Of course not bad to plan. Proverbs 6:6 says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. So it's a good thing to plan for the future. It advises here in Proverbs a plan for our future. If an ant can gather its food and prepare for its future, prepare its own food, no doubt we ought to be able to do the same. And obviously we see that. There's nothing wrong with planning. So what is James talking about here? It seems like he says the opposite. The problem comes in when we make our plans without any prayer, without any reference to God about our plans. You've heard the parable of the rich man with the big harvest, Luke 12. Go ahead and turn to Luke 12, verse number 16. Luke chapter number 12. The skew's heavy. She's found her voice. We've been needing to walk around the house with earplugs. She's learning how to squeal. I do apologize about that. Luke 12, verse number 16, it says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." So you have the rich man, the huge harvest. The huge harvest can be, what he thought was going to be very profitable to him. He thought he could kick back his feet and retire, if you will, for a few years. He decided to stow it back and just hold it. And decided he just sit back and just enjoy the next few years, eat, drink, and be merry. He decided to retire early. Just take it easy and not do anything else. Jesus says, thou fool. So is it a bad thing to store up food for when to store it for the next years? So is it wrong to store up food or wrong to store up funds? We don't store up food as much nowadays. We do some. We more often store up funds. Is that wrong thing to do? Is it wrong to build a retirement and be able to retire? Of course not. As long as you include God in the decision-making process. What does it say in verse 21 of that chapter we just read? So as he layeth treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. It's talking about selfishness, worrying too much about me, myself, and I, not caring what the Lord has planned for you, not caring about anybody else, or what the Lord has for you, just caring about yourself. That's what James is talking about here in James chapter 4, talking about selfishness. There are many people who do this now. They make business decisions without even praying about it. They make decisions strictly on what makes their wallet bigger. Many of those folks are unwilling to give, oftentimes selfish, greedy. It kind of goes hand in hand. James is calling out those that make no effort to find God's will in their decisions. Those that make hasty decisions and plans for the future without consulting God about it first. As we're talking about verse number 13. And so that's who he's talking to. The Lord taught me this early, the hard way. We made some dumb decisions, financial decisions early on in life. I had to pay for them. The Lord taught it to me the hard way. Consult him in the decisions first. James is calling out those that make the quick, hasty, often dumb decisions. Notice what it says. Back to James chapter 4, verse number 13 again. Lost my place here. Ye that say today or tomorrow ye will go. That's a hasty decision. This isn't planning for the future way out in advance. He says right there in verse 13, go to now. Ye say today or tomorrow we will go. It's a hasty decision. This is deciding today, later today or tomorrow, we will move and we're going to go do it for an entire year. And this is what we're going to do for an entire year. We'll make a decision now. Quick, hasty, selfish decisions without seeking the Lord's face will get you in a world of hurt every time. One thing I learned, if it's the right decision today, it'll be the right decision tomorrow. Right's always right. It's not going to change. Younger folks, it'd be wise to listen to that. If you're trying to make financial decisions or any decisions, if it's right today, it'll be right tomorrow. It's not going to change. Go home, pray about it, and come back tomorrow. You may have heard that famous car salesman's quote, what can I do to get you in this car today? I hate that. Exactly the opposite of what I want to do. Quick, hasty decisions with no thought of what the Lord would have you to do are always going to lead to trouble. That's the decisions James is talking about here, the planning, the lack of planning, I guess. You would call that in verse number 13. Number two. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. We saw in our first verse there, here's number two, here's the why. This is why James got their attention, verse number 13. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. So why don't we ask him what to do about tomorrow? It'll be a pretty wise thing to do. Slow down, ask the Lord for guidance, and wait for his guidance. I tend to drag my feet on big decisions. That's not a good thing oftentimes, usually a bad thing. I'm just concerned about making the wrong decision. I'm going to make sure I'm in the center of God's will before I make a decision. Oftentimes, you may miss an opportunity. I'd rather miss an opportunity than get myself in the wrong opportunity and get myself out of the Lord's will. James talking about making sure you know what tomorrow holds. Talk to one that knows what tomorrow holds. We don't know. So therefore, it would be crazy to make plans about tomorrow without consulting the one that knows about tomorrow. We don't have much time. James is talking about it here. Our life can change in a second. You probably here know that more. You here probably know that more than most people. Our life can change in a second. Your future, your everything can change in a split second. James says your life is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. We'll look at three things here with this vapor, or this steam, if you will, is what a vapor is. It's a picture of our life. Number one is a transient life. You've probably heard that song before. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. We just have a little bit of time here. We're passing through here. Lately, it seems like we could go any moment. The Lord's going to come. Seems like he's going to come busting through the sky any moment, open up the sky any moment now. I don't believe it's going to be too long until the church is out of here. I don't believe we have much time left. Our life is a vapor. If it was a vapor then, in James' time, I believe it's even more so a vapor today. I believe we don't have much time left. I don't know where our life is a vapor. That's why it's more important than ever that we make good, godly decisions, good, godly plans for the future. What can we do now that will further his work? We don't have much time left. What can we do as a church? I'm not building an empire for our church, but what can we do to better his kingdom in the time we have left? We don't have much time, just like a vapor. Our life is a transient life. We're just here for a little time, or we're going to be out of here, like a boiling pot of water. That water gets to a certain temperature, it turns into vapor, into steam, and it rises, and it's gone. In a split second, it's gone. Only for a second. We have a transient life, here and gone. Number two, we have a transformed life if we're a vapor. This vapor, we could call it steam. Well, what is steam? What's steam? Simple question. What is it? It's water. Steam is water. It's made up of water. It's water that has its nature and its behavior changed. And think about that for a minute. Our life is a vapor. A vapor is steam. A vapor is water. The nature and behavior change. So our life ought to have a nature and a behavior change from what it used to be. Water obeys the gravity, downward pull of the earth. Steam rises. It overcomes the downward pull of the earth, overcomes the world. Water always goes down, always go to the lowest point possible, eventually into the sea. Vapor goes to the highest point possible, always going up. Water always gravitates to sea. Vapor soars to the sky as high as it can. Water belongs in the earth. Vapor belongs in the heavens. I think you get my point. We are transformed. We ought to be transformed. If you're saved today, you ought to no longer be water, but be a vapor. Life is even a vapor. You ought to be different than before. You have a nature change, a behavior change. One more thing. What is it that causes vapor to change its nature from water? What is it that causes it to change from water to steam? The sun. The heat from the sun causes evaporation and causes the vapor to rise. The sun draws the vapor to itself. It says in Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God the Son, after we're saved, changes our nature and draws us unto himself. It's like a vapor being drawn into the sun. One day we'll see him in heavenly places, like it says there in Ephesians. James says, our life is even a vapor. It appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. Or to seek his face for decisions, because he's drawn us on him. We will seek his face for decisions because we're changed, have a changed nature, changed behavior. Number three, not only a transient life and a changed life, but you see a triumphant life. That's maybe a little out there tonight. I promise I'm going somewhere. I'm sure y'all know a little bit about a steam engine. Heard about that before anyway, at least heard the phrase before. A little bit different kind of engine. The idea started when a scientist watching a pot of water boiling there on the fire. He noticed how the frail, worthless steam, if it had enough pressure, could lift the iron lid of the pot with enough pressure behind it. He saw that, he took it and turned it into an engine. It started to be used in trains and ships and different things, water pumps, all kinds of things you can read about. Our lives can be wasted away on the things of this world, like a steam just floating through the air. We can be saved and we can never do anything else for the Lord. And we're going to miss out on so much. Or we can be like the steam engine. You put to work. A steam can be put to work, do something useful, get plugged into the church. We can become involved in the ministry somehow, in some way, involved in the work of the Lord. And we can, even as a short vapor, do a big work for the Lord in the meantime. Small amount of steam can move a big tank, can move a big train down the track. Small amount of us can do a lot of work for the Lord if we're put to work, put in the right position, It's like the steam engine takes something that's pretty small and useless, turns it into a huge amount of power. The Lord can take us small and useless and use us to do something for him, get something done for him, if we get put in the right place. You're getting some work done for the Lord. If not, you're just floating around, wasting your life away. Your life even is a vapor, here for a little time, and gone, wasted away. See, you're a vapor. Life is a vapor. Short. It's changed. It ought to be changed. And it ought to be working. Number three, verse number three, we see verse number 15. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. If the Lord will, we shall live. James says this is the way you should look at it. If the Lord allows, I will live and I'll do this or that. James says, whatever the Lord's will is, that's the way, that's what your outlook should be. It's not about my plans or your plans. It's about his plans. We go and we sign papers. Me and now we go to sign papers tomorrow on the land we've been trying to get. Plans, our plans, at least for now, seem like they're working, planning for a future. I'm going to leave it in his hands. I don't know what he holds in the future. I don't know what his plans are for tomorrow. Whatever he wants, that's what we're going to do. And I pray that, that's what we pray all the time. Lord, whatever you want, that's what I want. I promise you, if you would include him from the beginning, you'd be thankful. He can work it out a whole lot better than you can. He's a whole lot smarter than we are. The shepherd knows the fields. Talked about that before. He can read stories over in Joshua about how Joshua didn't do that. How he got messed up in battle because they sent part of their army to, off to battle. They got arrogant. Well, Achan was at home sinning. The army got destroyed because they were arrogant. They didn't seek the Lord's face before going to battle. You can read the story of Joshua accepting a treaty with the country without praying about it, seeking the Lord's face about it, and without verifying who they were. And they were just the neighbors down the road. They lied about it. Got peace with Israel. Had a treaty with Israel. Israel got themselves in trouble because they didn't seek the Lord's face. Be careful making hasty decisions without Lord's guidance. James says, if the Lord will, then we can live. And if the Lord will, then we can do this, and then we can do that. If the Lord will, we can go to Selah. We can try to help Brother Compton. Not what we want. Not because we want a pat on the back of what we want to do. Whatever the Lord wants to do. If the Lord will. If the Lord will, we may get to build a new building. We've talked about that here with the church. If the Lord will, we may get to build a new building at some point. If the Lord wilt, not what I want, not what you want, not what any of us want. Whatever the Lord wants. James says how it ought to be. If the Lord will, we'll get to live. That's how he starts it out. If we will get to do this or that. Verse number 16. But now rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. James is talking about here about boasting about your plans for the future. He says it's evil to boast about your plans for the future. Boasting about your future without consulting the Lord is not only evil, it's just plain dumb. Why would you brag about something that could change in a second? Not a very smart thing. Don't brag about tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We laugh. How many times do we do that? We boast about tomorrow. Well, my team is going to whoop up on your team come Friday night. And then they lose and get made to look like a fool. We don't know what tomorrow holds. That word boasting there, the definition is braggadocio, meaning prideful. We talked about pride last week, a sin of pride. James says, when you rejoice in your pridefulness, is evil. Don't brag on yourself. Don't brag on your plans. Don't brag on your future, because you don't know what your future holds. And what he says, don't brag on what you will do or what you can do, because you don't know what tomorrow holds. It's pretty common sense. James is taking it pretty serious. Why is he so serious about this? Because when we boast about our future, we plan our future on our own, don't seek the Lord's face, we boast about it, we are ignoring our dependence on God, ignoring God's word, ignoring how dependent we are on him. We're acting as if what he says doesn't matter. If he promised you without God's help, I'd be nothing. Promise you without God's help, you would be nothing without him. If God didn't bless me and my family, I don't know where we would be. Without him, we're nothing. Some might say, well, I can work and I can make money. I can provide for my future by myself, on my own will. It's all dependent on God allowing you the health and the ability to accomplish that. It's all dependent on him. Don't boast about what you can do tomorrow. It all depends on him. Verse number 17, lastly. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. This verse here is pretty simple and to the point. Not doing good is just as bad as doing wrong. If you know to do good and you don't do it, it's a sin. If you know something is right and you choose not to do it, you're wrong. It's sin. It's very simple. If you know you ought to be in church, but you choose to stay home instead, not because you're sick, just because you don't want to be here, that's a sin. If you know to do good and you do it not, it's like the ones in the Samaritan stopped to help the man on the side of the road that was beaten by the thieves, the priests and Levite that passed him on by. They knew to do good and they did it not. It was a sin. When you first read this verse number 17, it seems like it's out of place from the context of the rest of the chapter. At least it did to me. I'm not very smart, but that's what it seemed to me. It was as if James had suddenly changed directions there in the last verse. He's talking about plans and boasting and our life as a vapor, and then right to doing choosing the right path. Then in verse number 17, he says, "You do know therefore to do to him that knoweth to do God do good and doeth it not to him in his sin." It's like he changed directions. I started on this while I believe that the answer is simple. None of us, after reading the previous verses, can claim that we didn't know we should ask the Lord for direction. We know to do good after reading those verses. What is that phrase, ignorance is bliss? If you make it down to verse number 17, you read the rest of those verses there, you no longer have the ignorance. You know what you ought to be doing. You know you ought to ask for his direction. After reading that, after preaching this, I know and you know it's right to seek God's face with every decision. Now, if you choose not to do it, it's a sin. You know to do good, and you do it not to him, and it's sin. You know to ask the Lord for direction, you do it not, it's a sin. James is saying, you have no excuse. I have no excuse. You know the right thing to do. Before this, before in verse number 13, he was talking about our behavior. He says, you know to do good and do it not to him and his sin. You know how to handle your tongue, you do it not to him and his sin. You know the wisdom you ought to have, you do it not to him and his sin. You can apply everything he's mentioned before this verse. We have no excuse for quick, hasty, dumb decisions. James says, seek the Lord. Young people here tonight, seek the Lord for his will. You young men, young ladies here, seek his face to every decision you make. Not just younger ones. Oftentimes we point to younger ones about decisions. The older ones as well. Seek his face for your decisions, for your business decisions, and seek his will for your family decisions. Seek his will for your health decisions. You know the right thing to do, and you have no excuse. Therefore, him knoweth to do good and doeth it not to him in his sin. We know the truth. We have the answer. We know the right way to go. Just follow him. We don't have life to waste. As even a vapor, James says, don't waste your time. We don't have much time to use. You better use it for him. Seek his face first. Don't waste time on mistakes. You don't have time to waste. I'm not that old, but there are some decisions I wish I'd made the right way the first time when I was younger. If I did, I'd probably be much further ahead than I am right now. Amen. Seek him early, seek him first. Don't wait until it's too late. You know to do good, doeth it not to him to sin. Seek his face. Don't boast about tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Seek him early. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for all you've done for us, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Thank you for this church. Lord, I pray you help us to go our separate ways tonight and keep us safe. In Jesus' name, amen.